The first reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The second reading comes from the New Testament, Luke chapter 9, verses 28-36. And before this, Jesus had been teaching and doing many miracles. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. When Steve Jobs passed away, he was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, who said, "To be honest, Mr. Jobs, the last time an apple caused so much excitement around here, it involved Adam, Eve, and a snake." Steve Jobs created Apple. Maybe I should have started with that. And in that same vein, when Steve Jobs met St. Peter at the gates, the saint was rummaging through the enormous Book of Life, searching for Jobs' name and his earthly record. And Steve spoke up and suggested, "You know, I have an app for that." Okay, that one went much better. Whew. Phew. Well, 15 years ago, in 2010, Apple pioneer Steve Jobs, clad in his standard uniform of black turtleneck and jeans, took to the stage in a huge auditorium to the cheers of thousands of techies to introduce the iPhone 4. Now, what iPhone number are we up to now? 16? Yeah. Well, at the time, the iPhone 4 was the cutting edge of technology. He quickly demonstrated each of the phone's many features while projecting images of screenshots on the giant screen behind him. And each new or improved feature was met with applause from the assembled Apple fans. And finally, he announced that there was one more thing to demonstrate. And I mean, the techies were on the edge of their seats. They were primed with anticipation. They knew this was going to be something big. This was what they had been waiting for. And Jobs explained how in 2007, he had stood on another stage and made the first public iPhone call, but now he wanted to do something similar. And an image of his iPhone appeared on the screen, and the audience could watch what he was doing in real time. He touched a button called FaceTime, and instantly his own face appeared on the giant screen. Now imagine, kind of like imagining that scene in The Wizard of Oz, you know, when the face of Oz, the great and terrible, appears on the screen, and it makes Dorothy and all of her companions quiver. Well, this time it was the face of Steve Jobs, only he was a smiling, happy face. And he touched another button, and a second face appeared on the screen, and Jobs' face shrank to a small box on the lower left. And the two began talking to one another. Well, the crowd went wild as they viewed the very first FaceTime video conferencing. This is what they had been waiting for. Steve Jobs was the face of modern communication technology. Well, when Jesus stood on the mountaintop and conferenced with Moses and Elijah, those giants of the faith who had lived centuries apart looked at one another's faces. It was a moment far more dramatic than Steve Jobs' announcement, and they did it without a smartphone. In many instances, the mere face of a well-known person can represent a campaign, an organization, or even concepts and ideas. I mean, when we think of iconic images, we associate them with ideas. Einstein is the face of science. Rosa Parks is the face of civil disobedience. Martin Luther King Jr. is the face of civil rights. Abraham Lincoln, the face of freedom. Shakespeare, the face of literature. Elvis, still the face of rock and roll. Well, Moses is the face of the law, and Elijah is the face of the prophets. If we saw Elvis in a room talking to Einstein, we might think, ooh, rock and roll meets science. If we saw Moses chatting with Elijah, we would say the law and the prophets compare notes. It's both, and if both of them were talking to Jesus, we might say the law and the prophets listen to the gospel. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and this brings us to a mountaintop where Peter, James, and John are witnesses to a very important meeting. While Moses was leading the people through the wilderness, he had a moment of discouragement. And he asked God for a sign of God's power, a sign to see God's glory. And God grants him what he can. And in a beautiful passage, God passes by Moses, allowing him to see God's back. Or maybe a better translation would be to where God has just been. And Elijah, rather famously, has a similar encounter. And while he hid in a cave, God came to Elijah, not in fire, earthquake, or a mighty wind, but in the still, small voice of calm. The face of the law, Moses, and the face of the prophets, Elijah, the two who have come closest to seeing God, are right here on Transfiguration Mountain, talking to Jesus, the face of the good news. Now, we're pretty familiar with Moses bringing the Ten Commandments, the law, to the people. And laws are necessary. They help us to relate to one another and to the people that God has called us to be. And Elijah was a great prophet whose story is recorded in the Old Testament. Now, remember, prophets did not necessarily predict the future. Prophets received special revelations, special messages from God for the good of the people and were called to share it. And Elijah's predominant message from God was to encourage the people of Israel to return to God and to stop worshiping Baal. Elijah is the face of the prophets. And in Jesus Christ, the third person on the mountain of the Transfiguration, we have a perfect response to the law and the prophets, and that response is called good news. Gospel. That's what gospel means, good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of Jesus Christ. Moses, the face of the law, is on the mountain with Jesus, and so is Elijah, the face of the prophets. And they are there with Jesus, the face of the gospel. Jesus perfectly kept the law of God. Jesus perfectly lived a life of holiness. And Jesus brought us the good news of salvation and the promise of eternal life. The law and the prophets have been fulfilled in Christ, who calls us to new life in him. In this story of the Transfiguration, the face of the law and the face of the prophets meet the one who is the face of the good news. In Jesus, the law and the prophets come together, and we are set free. And we are also called to be the face of Jesus to others. On Wednesday, we will begin the 6-week journey through the season of Lent. Let us use this time of self-reflection, prayer, and penance to shine the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ to all we meet. Let us reflect the face of the good news as we make our way to the cross and the glorious resurrection to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.